always say that the Course in Miracles reveals to us that we're not who we think we are. And I always say to people, you're not who you think you are. Aren't you glad? The Course in Miracles says that our primary problem, as a matter of fact, both as individuals and collectively in terms of a kind of species remembrance, is that we have forgotten who we are. And to say that we have forgotten who we are really indicates, in Course in Miracles terms, that this is a kind of process of forgetting which has been going on for millions and millions of years. In the Bible, there's a line where it says that Adam fell asleep, and nowhere in the Bible does it say that he woke up. And the Course in Miracles says that there has not been any kind of mass reawakening, but that that is what is beginning to happen now. But there can't be a mass awakening unless there are individuals awakening. And to say that we have forgotten who we are, we have fallen asleep to the memory of who we are, means that we have begun to think that we are something that we are not, and to forget that we are something that we are. You're not your resume. You're not your grades. You're not your body. You're not your past. You're not your mistakes. You're not your addictions. You're not your limitations. You're not your weaknesses. You're not your parents. You're not any of those things, the Course in Miracles says, that you put down on the page as what you are. What the Course in Miracles says is that you are God's gift to the world. What you are is love itself. And love itself is obviously, if you were to look at your life as you define it, it's very difficult to say, I'm love itself. Because we look at our behavior, our addictions, our limitations, the things we've done, our past, our mistakes, and obviously we have not all had it together all the time. And what the Course in Miracles says is that the point there is not that all of your attributes have been loving, but that the point is that you aren't your attributes. You're something beyond that. That inside, not in anything on the earthly surface, not in the realm of our behavior, not in the realm of our human storyline, not in the realm of anything that people's eyes can see or ears can hear, there is this love that we all know, that we go to bed with each night and we wake up with each morning. And the Course in Miracles says that there is no one who hears these words or reads these words who doesn't know what we're talking about. And the essence of the Course in Miracles is to revision our perception of the world and all of our perception of other people in relationship to us through the vision of what it means to realize that it is this love which is real in us, and it is this love which is real in other people, and everything else basically is a joke. It's a cruel joke. The Course in Miracles says if it wasn't so tragic, it would be funny. But in a way, it can't be funny because of all the pain that has come about in our lives and in the lives of people about around us, because we have all forgotten who we really are and what we came here for. I always say to people that if we have any problem in any area of our life, your money, your relationships, your body, anything, you ask yourself two questions. And you realize that if you have a problem, it's because you forgot either who you are or why you came here. Who you are, the Course in Miracles says, is love itself. If you look to an enlightened master such as a Jesus, what an enlightened master speaks from is a level of consciousness which is inherent in all of us. So that when a Jesus or someone like that, a perfect master, speaks, and he says, I am sent by God as God's perfection on the earth, what those people represent is an evolutionary potential in all of us. The truth of the matter is that we are also God's personal emissaries. We are God's love, arrived on this earth to be a light in the midst of the darkness. And the reason we came here is to take that light into the darkness of the world. We live in a generation which is terrified of the world. This generation, we have the education, we have the resume often. Often we know how much talent we have. We know how much ability we have. We know that we have everything it takes, and yet on some level it's like we're paralyzed and we don't know how to break through our own fear. We are so afraid of going out into the darkness of the world. The real point is the world is a dark and dangerous place. That's why you were born. You were born to go into the darkness and be the light. So the point here is you've either forgotten who you are, i.e. God's love, or you forgot why you came here. When a Jesus or another enlightened master or saint comes onto the earth, they come in order to lift the vibrations of the thinking of mankind. That's why they're here, and that's why we're here. Now, this change is what the Course in Miracles is about, this reversal in our own self-perception. The reason the Course in Miracles has a workbook, 365 days worth of meditation exercises, is because that's more than an intellectual shift. We've all been taught from the time that we were born that we are something other than what we are. All of us have been taught from the time that we were born that we are bodies existing in this world. Now, the Course in Miracles teaches us that, like I said, somewhere beyond the body is the love inside of us. Now, as I said before, this love that's inside of you, what the Course in Miracles says, it's in your mind, and to say that there is perfect love inside your mind is the same thing as saying there is God in you. God dwells, the Course says, deep within your mind. And what you are, the Course says, is a child of God, an extension of His love and of His thought. Now, that means that essentially you are already perfect. The Course says that you have forgotten that you were created as a perfect being. There is nothing that anybody in this room has to do to make themselves more perfect than you already are. You were created perfect, the Course says. You are perfect. You will always be perfect. There is nothing that you can do or say that can in any way modify what is essentially true about you. That is your perfect essence. However, that doesn't mean you express that way now. So what the Course in Miracles says is that in terms of your manifest expression of yourself, you're not perfect, or you wouldn't be here, but it is your mission to become perfect here. And what I want to talk about tonight is the idea that the spiritual journey is about accepting that we are already perfect, essentially, accepting the fact that we are not yet perfect in terms of how we express ourselves, but that we came to this earth in order to get back to the perfection which is our spiritual essential nature. That's called growth. It's what in the Course in Miracles is called the journey without distance. But the thing that we all have to just accept is that growth is messy. We've always, you know the line, Sandra Ray's line, love brings up everything unlike itself. What that means is that if you have, see what we do, we are taught to make everything pretty. We want to keep up appearances. So what happens is that we have these weaknesses in our personality, and what we tend to do is to try to hide them. But you don't transcend something by denying that it's there. So a lot of people think that when you invite God into your life, what He's going to do is to help you in this giant cover-up, basically. Right? You came to this earth, remember the Course says you wouldn't have even been born had you already been totally healed. If you were, in terms of your consciousness, in terms of your spirit, already at a point of total unconditional love, no matter what, you wouldn't have come to this hotel. Right? This was a trip out of the infinite into the limited. Right? That's why in Japan, they cry when people are born and celebrate when they die. So, in the Course in Miracles worldview, that is sane perception. So the idea here is that you accept that the only reason you're here is to be healed. That's all that's going on. But for us, you're not healed by taking all those unhealed parts and pretending they don't exist or sweeping them under the rug. The reason love brings up everything unlike itself is like Jesus in the Bible talking about how he comes with a sword. The idea, and this is what is actually the real meaning of the last judgment. See, the last judgment, a lot of people think the last judgment is that you're going to stand before God and he's going to tell you his opinion of you someday. Which on a certain level is true. You will stand before God, he will give you his opinion, and I assure you he will say that you look marvelous. So that concept is not really a problem. Except the Course in Miracles says that what the last judgment really refers to actually is not a process undertaken by God, but a process undertaken by us. Also something that happens over millions of years. And what that is where we allow ourselves to see. We allow ourselves to experience everything in life that reflects back to us exactly where we are on the path and to judge, is that or is that not worthy of the real me? And that's what the growth is. It's a rehab. It's a detox. If you go in for a physical detox, all that stuff has to come up in order to be released. And what emotional rehab is that every area where you aren't aligned. See, sometimes, let's say you have in you the capacity to feel very abandoned because daddy abandoned you. I'm sure maybe a few people can relate in the audience. So you have this idea that if you invite God into your life, that no one will ever abandon you again. I have bad news. The truth of the matter is that the mistake is not that you were abandoned, but the mistake is the fact that you went through that caused a kind of wires getting crossed in you. And the truth of the matter is that what has to happen now is that if you experience yourself as abandoned in your past, then that means that you will become oversensitive to the issues of abandonment, and it will be very easy for you to feel abandoned. Saint does not easily feel abandoned. Okay? And you are here to become a saint. So you might think I'm going to invite God into my life and then no one will ever make me feel abandoned again. That's not the way it works. You invite God into your life and the process is as gentle as he can do while still making sure you get the point. You will have in your experience situations that will seem to you perhaps like abandonment, and you will have the opportunity to know that you have it within yourself to rise to the occasion, to recognize that this is in fact not what it looks like, so there's no reason to be so sad. It's you that needs to be healed. I've shared here a lot that I always felt that my life is like this pretty house, and I invited God into my life, and I thought that then he was going to, you know, like make the paint it and put new shutters on the windows, maybe a portico in the front, you know, just kind of jazz things up. And I invited God into my life, and it was as though a wrecking ball arrived. And I felt as though God was saying, honey, there were cracks in the foundation, just thought we'd better start all over again. And it was true. There were rats in the basement and in the bedroom, too. Right? Like I said, it will be messy. And if we start from the understanding that there are deep places in us where we are unhealed, if we start from that understanding, I used to think a perfect relationship was a relationship that did not bring up my hysteria. Not in God's eyes. Often I would have relationships and I would think, this is terrible, God, you sent the wrong person. And I felt like God was up there going, no, this is very good. Because if I can be made hysterical, then just avoiding situations that can make me hysterical is not really the healing at all, is it? The real healing is if situations come into my life that make me hysterical and I can have an opportunity to recognize this is it. This is the wall right here. Break through it now. If you don't break through it now, you're going to have to break through it later. There's something to this. If you can hurt this much, if you can get this crazy, then you've got these wires crossed, and this is the time to call on God. Now, the interesting thing about this is what enables us to forgive ourselves. Because, see, the problem is that the reason we have such difficulty letting that in, The reason we have such difficulty allowing situations in our lives that bring up the worst in us is because if you're in a situation that brings up the worst in you, then you think, oh God, I'm horrible. When the truth of the matter is if you're in situations that bring up your craziness, you're being healed. That's the only reason you came here. You didn't come here to avoid that stuff. Now, when you can recognize that that's all that's going on here, then that, to me anyway, has been a real key to accessing my own ability not to be so judgmental of other people. Because if I'm only here to go through this stuff in order to be released from it, then it only makes sense that other people are on the earth doing the same thing. So that when other people hurt me, let's say, it's like I've had experiences in my life with relationships where I felt as though I was saying to God, God, you must have sent me the wrong person. This is a total jerk. And I felt like God was saying, yeah, he has some off behavior. That's why I sent him to you, but a lot of good you're doing. Because all you're doing is judging it, aligning in the idea that this is real and this is who that person is. And that's not how a person becomes healed. The Course in Miracles says that the temple of the Holy Spirit, the agent of healing, is relationships. But relationships, when used by God, are not relationships in which everybody pretends not to have weaknesses. Relationships, when used by God, you know, it's like when you give your life to God, I always say, if you give your life to the Holy Spirit, the first thing he says is, thank you, and the second thing he says is, hold on. I have more news. If you give a relationship to God, first thing he says is thank you. The next thing he says is hold on. I've been in relationships that just blew apart, and it's like I said, God, I never should have given that to God. I can't tell you how many times I've given a relationship to God, and the next day the guy left, or the guy met somebody else because I asked that God's will be done instead of my own. Or that we gave a relationship to God, and all of a sudden their craziness came up and my craziness came up. That doesn't mean life isn't working. That means life is working. And if that's really all we're here for, you know, we talk about this all the time. All of the craziness outside is a reflection of the craziness inside. An angry generation is not going to bring forth peace in the world, and we are an angry generation. You have to date us a couple of weeks before that's real clear. But we are pissed. We're a little crazy. So in order for us to be healed in terms of how to be a responsible generation, a generation that can take responsibility for getting rid of the hatred in the Middle East, getting rid of the hatred in Central America, getting rid of the hatred on our own streets, getting rid of the hatred and the self-destruction that caused people to become addicts or alcoholics, to get rid of the self-hatred, to get rid of the hatred of each other, we can only be instruments of what we found in ourselves. You can't give anything that you don't have. In a way, you know, you see a lot of people, you know, power itself is kind of neutral. It's not kind of neutral, it is neutral. And I know, and I've experienced this in my own life, and I've seen people in whom this was obviously true. What happens is it's like the universe is sending all this power down, because that's what we are. We are meant to be these cosmic channels. Not channels for other entities 35,000 years old necessarily. There is no Lemurian who has been through what I have been through. Right? There is no Atlantean who has seen what somebody born in the 40s or the 50s or the 60s on this earth and lived in this culture, particularly a town like New York City, Atlanteans don't know anything compared to what we have seen, right? So there's no reason to think, and there are, and that is not said with disrespect for Atlanteans or Lemurians. And the Course in Miracles is channel material. I don't mean that those things don't exist and that they don't have validity. But what you, in channeling the love of God, can do and do when you are in a tender space, so you don't recognize the power of your own tenderness, the power of your own mercy, the power of your own compassion. And so the only reason you are on this earth is for the universe to teach you. That means that you are here in every single area where you have a delusion about who and what you are and what you're here for, you are here to be busted. All your comfort zones will be completely burst apart if that's what it takes. If you have the idea, for instance, that let's take the area like us, what the Course in Miracles calls special relationships. We have this romantic myth that the Course in Miracles says does not come from God. And it is this idea that there is this other person, this one other person, and in them we will find our salvation. Now, the Course in Miracles says that this cannot, could not possibly be true. The reason it can't possibly be true is because it's not the way that God loves. Only natural thinking brings forth love. Only natural thinking brings forth truth. Truth works. The Course in Miracles is not about good and bad, but it is about true and false. There are certain ways that the universe operates, right? It's sort of like if there is a God, your opinion is irrelevant. You know what I'm saying? If there is one, whether or not he gets your vote isn't going to stop anything. You know what I'm saying? So what scientists describe for us, scientists describe and discover the way the universe operates. They don't invent the way the universe operates. And what real spirituality is a discovery of how the mind operates. And that's the whole point of the idea that there shall be a time when science and religion meet. So in spiritual philosophy, when they say you just happen to be the power of the universe, it's not said in a tone in the Course in Miracles like somebody's trying to persuade you. The tone is more like, just thought you might like to know. You just happen to be the power of the universe. You just happen to be here to save the world. But when we talk about saving the world, remember, we don't save the world by hitting somebody over the head with our way of looking at things. We save the world by understanding the world is all in our heads anyway. And is that we in our own minds become healed of our own misperceptions, the world is healed. So let's say you have this idea that there is this one other person that's going to save you, what the Course in Miracles calls the special relationship. And so what you do is try to make a little box where you and this other person can live happily ever after. And you don't really have to worry about anybody else. It's just going to be the two of you. That's delusional, and it will never work. And that's the whole meaning in the Bible, you know, that a branch simply will not bear fruit if it is not based on the love of God. So it might seem to you that the problem was that person met somebody else. No, the problem was not that person met somebody else. The problem was that you thought they shouldn't. Right? The problem is that you saw love about, we're not talking sex here, we're talking love. So the problem was that you had an idea of exclusivity rather than inclusiveness. Okay? So what the Course in Miracles says is that we might just accept, start from a different premise, and accept that everything that comes into our life is a learning experience. Everything, one of the lessons in the Course in Miracles is all things are lessons God would have me learn. Every single circumstance in your life, see, we're always trying to change the curriculum. The Course in Miracles says, let's get this straight. You're not the teacher in your life. You're the student. Okay? We always try to think ourselves into something better. And as they say in Alcoholics Anonymous, your best thinking got you here. You're the problem. So if you're the problem, you know, on a certain level, you're the problem and you are the answer. But on another level, your limited mind is the problem. It's true, your higher mind is the answer, but your limited mind is not the answer. So the idea in the Course in Miracles is that there is within you what the Course in Miracles calls the Holy Spirit. And the recognition here is that everything that we've been taught by the world, the Course in Miracles says you're afraid to do this course because you fear that if you did this course, you would be forced to recognize that everything you've ever been taught was untrue. That's right. And that's what the Course in Miracles says. You have been taught from the time that you were born such upside-down perception. You have been taught that life was about everything other than unconditional love. And there's no way, you know, to say I believe in unconditional love, it's not like a Hallmark card. It's not about just being metaphysically impressive at cocktail parties. Oh, yes, I think love is really the answer that's going to save the world. You know? It takes work. Who are we kidding? And as I said, it is messy. You know, people, I go all over this country and some people say to me, when you're really angry at somebody, when you have really been hurt by somebody, how do you forgive them? I'm honest. I say, it's a bitch. It is hard. It is not easy. And the Course in Miracles says, don't kid yourself. Well, it doesn't use the word don't kid yourself, but it makes it very clear. It says there is no way to get out of the darkness of the worldview of this world without a guide. And the Course in Miracles does not claim to be the only guide. It claims to be a guide. But it is a disciplined spiritual practice. Much just like if you go to the gym and to do the exercises that are going to rework your body. In the Course in Miracles, this is a process in which your mind is reworked. It's called a mind training. To get to the point where you have a completely different perception of everything that happens to you. And to know that when we walk into it, it is a radical surrender. It is a radical devotion. It is a radical going into any situation in life. And the prayers that we're taught in the Course are things like, I don't know what anything means, including this. And I will not use my past to guide me now. I have been taught perceptions of myself and perceptions of my brother that all they do is get me confused. And the Course in Miracles says your whole life changes when you get to this point where you are willing to consider on some level that there might be another way. That there just might be a force of love in this universe that could run things better. And when you realize that there is a force of universe, force in the universe, it's like I said, it's not a matter of your opinion. Simply a matter, there's this force that makes embryos turn into babies. There's this force that makes seeds turn into flowers. There's this force that makes planets revolve around the sun. And you can let that force run your life, or you can do it yourself. That's your choice. And most of us say, oh, well, I think I'll do it myself, thank you. And one day I was trying to make a souffle, and I just couldn't do it. And I thought to myself, you can't even make a souffle, and yet you try to run your own life. And my life has many more dimensions and aspects to it than making a souffle does. And yet, it is such a radical humbling. You know, in the Course in Miracles, he says, my way is not difficult, it's just that it's apt to be perceived as personally insulting. There's just something about accepting help that's tough for us. It's not really tough to accept help once you realize how much you need it. It's like when I first did the Course in Miracles, I'm Jewish, I first saw the Course in Miracles, and I saw that Christian language, and I said, no, not for me, and I'm Jewish, and all this stuff, you know. A year later, I hurt so bad, I didn't care what the words were, I didn't care what the concepts, anything that might help, right? And you know what? The truth of the matter is that it's called being on your knees, right? It's that entry point. It's what Marilyn Ferguson in that book, The Aquarian Conspiracy, calls the entry point. The point at what, for whatever reason, you're willing to say, I can't do it by myself. And when you realize that you cannot do it by yourself, that's when you begin to realize that you aren't yourself as you defined yourself. And everything begins again. I know in my own life, it was when I was in major pain and major crisis, tremendous, that I felt it was as though at that point God said, can we start? Because until then, I would listen sometimes, but not all the time. I believed in love, but I also believed in all these illusions about what the world was about. And I was going after relationships according to my needs as I defined them, and I'm not saying I never do that now, but there's a big gap between the way it is now and the way it used to be, right? Going after relationships the way I defined them, what I thought a career was, why I had a career. And like I said, if you're looking at life like you are simply God's love and you are only here to spread God's love, then that's what's going on in your relationships. You're not here to get somebody to fit your needs as you define them. You are here to accept this is the curriculum that God has given me. I'm only here to give love and to receive love. How to do it, I don't have a clue. But I'm willing to allow God to show me. And same with your career, what the Course in Miracles calls your ministry. I'm not here just to make money. I'm not here to get famous. I'm not here to be on the front of a magazine. You say, wait a minute. I'm here simply because I want to serve God. I'm here because I want to be a channel of His expression. What's that supposed to look like? I haven't a clue. And in every area of your life, you take it with your money, you take it with your career, you take it with your relationships, and you become humble. And in that humility is our strength. In that humility is our power. See, the Course in Miracles says you have humility once again upside down. Really, what it is to be humble is to say, I happen to be the power of the universe. But that is a humble perception. To think that you're any less is not humble, because to think that you're any less is to imply that you created yourself. But to recognize that you are the power of the universe means to recognize that even though it is the power of the universe that flows through you, it is not because you are consciously trying to direct, control, manipulate, or exploit anything. You are simply asking that God's will be done. You take seriously your mission on this earth. The Course in Miracles says you have a mission. And the Course says that if you are depressed in your life, it's because on some level you know that you're not doing what you came here to do. I always say to people, if you have a nagging suspicion, how many people in this room have just had a nagging suspicion that you're not doing what you came here to do? You're right. That nagging suspicion is telling you something. You came for a great and glorious purpose. When Jesus or any enlightened master, when the prophets, when they say, I am here to be a light unto the world, he's talking about you too. And that is not an immodest perception. That is a humble perception. The Course in Miracles says to reside in the kingdom means to focus your full attention on it. And what most of us do is we have one foot in this world and one foot in that world. And sometimes we're in the kingdom and sometimes we're not. You know what I used to do? It's like I'd give Course in Miracles talks and then I'd go have this like sleazy after hours life. You know? It's like I give these Course in Miracles lectures and then I thought, you know, well, I get to still have fun, don't I? And then I used to say to God, how come when I'm lecturing things work, but in my private life they don't? And the answer I got back was, because you still think there is such a thing as a private life. When you think in other areas of your life that you're only here to do what you can, that love might come through you to the best of your ability, those areas of life will work also. But it's a difference between a gimme mentality and what can I give mentality. This generation is into gimme. This generation, we have been taught that we can go out and grab and get what we want. And that is a control mentality. Nobody here is saying that's bad. But we are positing for your consideration that it's ultimately not what works. It's not what ultimately provides a win. That's what in the Course in Miracles is called magic. And that's what a lot of modern so-called metaphysics is too. Universal principle? I want this, 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 and this. Right? The miraculous is where you say, universal principle, how can I serve? Universal principle, how can I help? And you don't claim to know what it's supposed to look like. That's very difficult. It's very difficult for us to get to the point where we go into any situation without a sense of what we want the outcome to be. The Course in Miracles says it's very important to have a goal in a situation. But for us, a goal is the goal of inner peace. Otherwise, let's say you go into an audition for a job, an interview for a job, and you have the idea that your goal is that you get the job. Well, the problem with that is that if you don't get the job, you're going to feel horrible. You've set yourself up for disappointment. But if your goal is peace, then the Course in Miracles says it's just like in your physical eyes, you have rods and cones, you know, and the mind, the eye is always censoring out things because there's no way that you could your brain could take in your really registering very specifically every single visual stimulus in a situation. Well, it's the same with your mind. You can't notice everything. You simply can't. So what happens is that you are in control of what you notice. And if you say at the beginning of a situation, my goal is inner peace, then the Course in Miracles says everything that would contribute to your feeling peaceful is what you'll notice. And everything that would contribute to your feeling otherwise is what you wouldn't notice. So what that means is if you go into the interview and your goal is inner peace, then if you get the job, you'll feel great, but if you don't get the job, your mind will automatically, like a computer, come up with the kinds of thoughts to tell you things like, well, I'm so good. Obviously, this wasn't the perfect one for me, but there'll be another one next that's better for me. And the difference between how you perceive what just happened and you're not getting that job is what's going to determine your emotions. So when the Course in Miracles says, allow God to come into your life, it's saying allow God to guide your perception. And that's what we're doing here. In the meantime, everything that is an area of us where we don't allow God to guide our perceptions, where we don't allow the thought that we are merely God's love, we are here to spread God's love, and that's all we're doing on this earth. To the extent that we think that anything else is going on, all the situations which confront us with the fact that we're still playing some other game is what's going to come up. And the Course in Miracles says it is not up to you what you learn. It is merely up to you whether you learn through joy or you learn through pain. We are going to have lessons. That's what it's about here. But we can either have the wisdom to say, I don't know exactly what this is supposed to look like, and I'm willing to step back and let God lead the way, which is not easy for a generation which has been told to take charge and take control. And it takes training to get to the point where we're able to do that. To the extent that we do that, we learn our lessons joyfully. To the extent that we have what the Course in Miracles calls perceptual temper tantrums, it will hurt. And what a lot of people want to do these days is to just avoid the experiences altogether. Like what I did in relationships once, I thought, God, I'm so bad, this is so terrible, I'm so bad at this, what I'm going to do is just go away for a year and get healed. And so what I did was for a year, I didn't date anybody, I didn't have anything to do with relationships, and I thought after a year, I said, well, I bet that I'm really healed now. So I went back, you know, and I went out with someone, and I felt like somebody walked out of their house for the first time in a year and got hit by a taxi. My first time out, it was just as bad as it had been a year before. Nothing had been healed. It had just been avoided. So the issue in relationships is not that you're going to be healed in relationships by not having relationships. It's not up to you when you have them and when you don't. That's up to Him. So the idea is that you will be sent to relationships, and you will be sent to relationships that bring up all your stuff. Right? And in those relationships, you will be healed if you choose to be. But we are only healed in any situation to the extent that we remember that we need to be healed. And there is a healer inside of us. God is the healer. And you know, it's just like they say in AA, shut up and listen. The relationship to God becomes one in which we are willing to just shut up and listen. And like I said, it makes us humbler. But ultimately, we recognize, and we will recognize as a generation, that this is not our weakness. This is our power. The Course in Miracles says, the meek shall inherit the earth because their strength will literally take the place over. When we find our meekness is when we find our power. I never received applause in my life when I was trying to receive applause. But when I, to whatever extent I'm able, could and do try to glorify God, God's not out to take the thunder away from you. That's when you are glorified personally, when you exist to glorify the Father. Now, we're not saying that you're supposed to go into a corporate office and say, hi, I'm just here to glorify the Father. But we are suggesting that you think it. Because the creative level has nothing to do with what you do, it has to do with what you think. And so as we become in any situation there merely to be a vessel through which God's will can be done, then we become the vessels that we need to be. You already have the job. Everybody's waiting for permission from the world to shine. Have you noticed that? When I get the job, I'll shine. When I get the money, I'll shine. When I get the relationship, I'll shine. You got the part already. What greater job could you have than that God sent you here as His personal ambassador? What greater job could there be than you are on a mission from God? To think of yourself as any less is not humble. If you have an address book, you have a ministry. If you know one person that could be comforted by a phone call from you and they haven't gotten it today or tomorrow, then you still have some work to do. And as you take care of the job that you came here to do, then more will be given you. That's another thing you see in this generation. We want more before we take care of that which we have. Have you noticed that? It's like, I want more effect. Why doesn't the world notice me? Or why aren't I getting more? I want more of an area of influence. When in the area of influence that we have, we don't necessarily do all that we can do. Because the mind knows that when you really take care of that which is yours, abundance comes of its own. And you know that's the real meaning of seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all else will be added unto you. You seek the love of God, the Maserati will come when it's supposed to. And that's really the meaning of that. You take care of the kingdom of heaven, meaning you take care of your awareness. Of course, all heaven is your awareness of your oneness with other people. And as we begin to practice on a daily basis, that's the importance of this day. My giving of love and my receiving of love, my knowing every situation that comes into my life is one in which the Holy Spirit is teaching me to forgive. And what forgiveness means, the Course says, is knowing in any situation that love is real here, everything else is a joke. Anything anybody did to you that was not their love was just a hallucination they were having. You don't have to be in the hallucination. You remain awake. And it takes training to do that. But if that becomes our allegiance, then we become people who dwell in the kingdom of heaven. And as we dwell in the kingdom of heaven, that means we dwell in real abundance and real prosperity. And when you dwell in real abundance and prosperity, then you'll see it out there. You're not going to let yourself have anything that you don't think you deserve. Everybody in this room knows that. I knew in my life when I started the Course, it was very clear to me. The problem was not that opportunities hadn't come my way. Opportunities had come my way, and I blew it every time. And usually at about 11:45. Right? Why? Because deep down inside, I didn't think I deserved it. And that was through a career, it was through relationships, it was through everything. It was just constant sabotage, and that's so painful. So what I got clear was, as long as you think you are nothing, then when experiences that the universe will send to you to say you're not nothing, you're fabulous. If you don't think you're fabulous, and then that will be like something coming into the body of your experience that's foreign to your system. When something comes into your body that's foreign to your system, your body spits it out. And if your self-perception is that you're nothing, then when glorious things come into your life and that doesn't fit your own self-perception, then you're going to find a way to spit it out. And that's why the Course says that your problem is that you forgot who you are. Your problem is your own self-perception. Your behavior will be determined by your self-perception. That's why first order of business, remember who you are. First order of business in any situation is to know I'm only here as God's love. And I don't know what I'm supposed to do about that. And the Course says you don't have to know what you're supposed to do. You just remember that, and everything will be done through you. The words will be right. The actions will be right. I always say the teacher of God is one who has becoming a finely tuned intuitional instrument. If we just do our part, the Course says you do your part, and God will do his. And the Course is simply asking us to expand our viewpoint. In any situation or area of life where we have a problem, the Course says it is only what you are not giving that can be lacking in any situation. And what we tend to not give is deep thinking. Deeper thinking about what the real cause is of problems. The Course says you think you have many problems, but you only have one, and that's separation from God. And that means the only problem in this world is a lack of love. Because separation from God means lack of love. The problem with drugs is lack of love. We don't love ourselves or we do drugs. The problem with nuclear bombs is not about nuclear bombs. It's about lack of love. You can get rid of the nuclear bombs. If we don't get rid of the lack of love, the next generation will come up with something at least as hideous as that. The problem with war is lack of love. The problem with the economy is lack of love, too, because the problem with the economy is a lack of basic integrity, and that's because people aren't performing business out of a sense of what's right, but rather out of a sense of what I can get. So until we return to our righteousness, until we return to a sense that we are here to do things because they are the right thing to do, then the world will remain in total conflict outside. And what we're talking about here is the fact that the conflicts outside are not the problem. The conflicts outside are a symptom of the problem. The problem is that we don't love each other. And there's no way to love other people until we can give them a break. And the only way you can really give people a break is when you have found a charity inside your heart to give yourself a break. And you learn to give yourself a break when you realize that you are on the way to becoming perfectly loving. And you just got to go through some things to get there.
Do you know what that little buzz is? Can you hear it? Just a little buzz. Can you hear it? Just a little buzz. It drives them crazy. Is there anything you can do about it? Maybe if you turn off that speaker. Oh, I'd really appreciate it. We got to work on this. I'm really sorry. I get real crazy. I'll tell you a joke in the meantime. I heard this joke. Now, somebody else tells me that this joke is all around town. Everybody's heard it. So if you've heard it, just be tolerant because I think it's cute. Okay? Are you ready? It's a Jesus joke. You're going into heaven, and all the people are lined up in heaven for an interview with Jesus to see exactly where they get sent. So Jesus is interviewing, and he's sitting in his desk with a pad and paper, and this really old man comes in. And the really old man, Jesus looks at him like, seen him before or something, you know. So he says to the old man, he says, what did you do for a living? And the old man says, I was a carpenter. And Jesus says, all right, and where did you come from? The old man looks at him and he says, from a very magical land, very far, far away. Jesus looks at him again, looks back to his paper and he says, did you ever have a son? And the old man looks at him and he says, well, some people said that I did, but I don't know. And then Jesus looks at him once more and he says, Father? The old man looks at him and he says, Pinocchio? Hey, told me that. Okay. Did we get it fixed? Yeah, okay. Thank you. I think it is. Yeah, okay. All right.
Let's get very serious now.
Okay. About as serious as I can get. Once I was at the end of a relationship, the breakup of a relationship, and I was very depressed. And I was asking myself, and I was having all the normal, desperate feelings, and I was trying to investigate my feelings in order to get through the experience, you know. And I was asking myself, okay, exactly what is it that you're feeling? And I realized that what I felt was very lonely. I thought to myself, well, that's interesting. What exactly is that loneliness? And I thought, well, when that person was here with me in my life, I felt very protected. I felt like I had this security blanket, sort of. There was just somebody, and they had their arms around me, and so I was okay. I was protected against, like, the big bad world, right? And what I realized, and I thought, now that's very interesting, because, of course, what I realized in terms of the Course in Miracles and what your root assumptions, you always have to ask yourself, what are the root assumptions, the core beliefs that you have going underneath any experience? The problem there was not that I no longer had a person to protect me. The problem was I thought you had to, that you needed one. Because if you think that you need a person to protect you, the problem there is that you, by definition, think that the world is a dangerous place. And that was the problem. The problem then was not that there was no longer a person to protect me. The problem was that I had this belief that the world was not safe. And so I realized that also what had happened at other times in my life was that if there hadn't been a masculine presence, let's say, or something that my mind said would protect me, that I sort of developed one of my own. Now, the principle here that's real important in terms of the Course in Miracles is where the Course tells us that it is in our defenselessness that we find our safety. And our defenselessness means that core place where we are totally naked and there is no armor. And the Course says there, and only there, is where you're safe. You know, we've talked before about how when Adam and Eve stood in front of each other naked and were not embarrassed, that, of course, that wasn't just physical nakedness, but it was an emotional nakedness. This is exactly who I am. This is exactly what I am. These are my weaknesses. These are my faults. This is, I don't have a job right now, whatever it is, and I'm not embarrassed. You know, when Michelangelo was asked how he made a sculpture, how he did something like David or the Pietà or Moses, what he said is that he got the rough marble and he imagined, he figured that the statue was already in there. And it was merely his job to chip away at all the excess marble. The statue had already been created. And that's the truth about our Christ self. The highest divine self, which is inside of us, is not something that it's our responsibility to create or on a certain level even to bring forth. What we're asked to do, however, is to let go everything that hides it. And the reason we do so much to hide that naked self inside of us is because we think that it's that place where we're so naked that is where we're weak and vulnerable, when the truth of the matter is that it's the place that feels to us like the place of our weakness and our vulnerability, which is actually the place of our power. And that's, of course, when you recognize someone like a Jesus, that's what he represents, is total defenselessness. Hey, he just stands there totally defenseless, and yet he is the power of the universe. So what we're always doing is either trying to get other people to protect us, sort of, and sort of that we can hide behind. A lot of times we do that in relationships. Isn't that right? That we're trying to sort of hide behind it. And not only is it other people that we try to hide behind or other situations where, you know, it's like, here's my calling card and here's what I have underneath it that proves that I'm worthwhile, that I have a particular job or that I have a particular relationship, something that, like, goes after my name and proves that I'm okay. But on an even deeper level than that, the problem, the armor, the things that we try to hide behind aren't even the things outside of us that we try to get, but this pay-step job that we do on our personality because we think that we have to. We have to make ourselves charming, or we have to build a personality. we have to sort of imitate what we think an attractive person would be like, all because we're coming from the core belief that if we didn't do that, we wouldn't be good enough. And so the Course in Miracles makes it very clear that that is what our fear is. Our fear is to look at what's down there. We're afraid to look at what's just down there because we're afraid it's not good enough. We're afraid that that which is just us is not enough. And yet it is that which is just us, exactly as we are, which is plenty good enough. This is the time, the Course in Miracles tells us, that we are in the time in the history called the Last Judgment. Now, the way traditional Christianity has interpreted the concept of the Last Judgment is the way a lot of traditional Christianity has interpreted a lot of Christian concepts, and that's in a very scary way. But the Course in Miracles says that that's what the ego mind does with these ideas. Because for us, the Last Judgment is not where you stand before God and he says, you know, I know who's been good and I know who's been bad. We say here all the time, you will one day stand before God. He will tell you his opinion of you, and he will tell you that you look marvelous, that you have absolutely nothing to be afraid of, because when you really hear God's opinion of you, you will be overjoyed. And also, it's to be excited. You know, you should be excited about the Last Judgment, because what that means is the Last Judgment. Get it? No more. That's it. No more. So really, the Course in Miracles says that the Last Judgment is not even something that God undertakes. The Course, because God never judged, the Course in Miracles says that the Last Judgment is something undertaken by the Holy Spirit inside our mind. And it's a process which in history takes millions of years. And what it is in terms of our own individual minds is where everything that's a product of our thinking comes up in order for us to look at it. And we get to judge whether or not that is worthy of us. So, for instance, if you have a relationship that you are on some level hiding behind, if you are on some level hiding behind it, or it's some kind of a security blanket to you, for instance, that is an unworkable belief. That is an unworkable pattern, because it doesn't reflect the truth about you. Because it's coming from the assumption that you're less than. It's coming, you're in that relationship, or at least that aspect of your being in that relationship, is coming from a place where you think the world is dangerous and so you need protection. That's not true. See, it's not about good or bad. It's about true and false. So because that's not true, the relationship, it will seem that in some way the relationship is blown apart or doesn't work anymore or whatever. When really what's happened is that you're simply going through that process of the Last Judgment. Everything is being shown to you for exactly what it is. And it's the same in your personality. If you're real arrogant or whatever games it is that you play, the universe is simply out to show you to yourself. And that's why sometimes, you know, the Course in Miracles says sometimes it will seem to you that when you invite God into your life, everything's falling apart. The truth of the matter is, the Course says, it was never nearly as together as you thought it was. You know, I mean, Elmer's glue we're talking about here. But you were so anesthetized to your own experience, you didn't know it. That's basically the way it's presented in the Course. When you invite God into your life, it's a sort of courage that you've taken on, whether consciously or not, to see things exactly as they are. So what that means, you know, it's almost like, let's say you have a certain pride, or in a bad sense, you know, in your personality. Well, it will seem, once you invite God into your life, that people will start having real negative reactions to it. Well, it's not like you didn't have it before, but you've asked to be cleansed. You've asked God into your life, which means you've asked to be shown to yourself. And that's exactly what we don't want. We're so scared to look at ourselves. But the interesting thing is that all of us want, probably more than anything else, to be accepted, don't we? We want to be accepted totally as we are, exactly for what we are, the way we are right now. Isn't that true? But how are we going to have anybody else in our life who is willing to just accept us exactly as we are if we don't accept ourselves exactly as we are? You know, it's like I've shared here the night I said to myself, why are you so surprised he doesn't want to spend the night alone with you? You don't want to spend a night alone with you. You don't find it an entertaining idea. Why is it anybody else? Right? What is it in there? And so a lot of times, like in relationships, because I had to ask myself, why is it so difficult to be alone? and you recognize and you look at that, it's that you feel sometimes very scared because it seems like the world is a really scary place. But the Course in Miracles says there is no world. The world is entirely in your mind. And to recognize that is to recognize the safety that's in the world, because that's your experience, if that's genuinely what you think you deserve. But you can't genuinely think that that's what you deserve unless you allow yourself to be made manifest to you. So when you're trying to build onto your personality, if you think you go into a room and you have to make yourself into something that you're not, you're by definition implying to others and to yourself that you, just exactly as you are not enough. And you have this feeling that if you just don't put on any airs and you don't, you know, pretend to know this or pretend to know that or be about this or to be about that, that no one will notice you. When the truth of the matter is that in your natural state, where you're not trying to get anyone to notice you and you're not putting on any airs, that's when your real natural light shines forth. And that's the real genuine charisma. And it's in you simply because you are like that piece of marble. The statue's already in there. The perfect you is already in there. It's not incumbent on you to manufacture it. That's what's already there. God created it. And that's what the Course in Miracles calls the Christ. The perfect you is already in God's mind. So if the perfect you is already in God's mind, you're in God's mind. So if the perfect you is already in God's mind, the perfect you is already in you. And you don't have to do anything. The Course in Miracles says you don't have to do anything to manufacture it or to create it. It's already there. Now, somebody was sharing recently in a prayer group about having difficulty taking criticism. Now, if you have difficulty, for instance, taking criticism, what that would be about is that somebody tells you that they don't like what you did or what you said. And if you think that your behavior and your body and all these externals about you are you, then if somebody criticizes that, by definition, your self-esteem really goes down. See, now, most of us were taught as children, you were either disapproved of or you were approved of. And we all know the negative effects of having been all the time disapproved of as a child. However, a certain kind of approval as a child really can be just as destructive if the approval was, you're a good girl, I like that grade. You're a good girl. That's really good that you did what mommy asked you to do. That's a good boy. You cleaned up your room, i.e., your performance was excellent. We love you because of your performance. You're good because you look good, or you're good because of that achievement, or you're good because you cleaned up like mommy asked you to, is not the same message as you're good. So if you are told, given that kind of approval as a child, let's say, but it's still based on the idea that your goodness is based on your performance, then still that sets up a split. And you grow up thinking that that which is behind your performance is not enough. And it is the fact that you think that you're not enough makes you disapprove of that real you. And you know, the Course in Miracles says you think that if other people saw the real you, they would recoil in horror. And that's because you weren't taught from the time that you were a child that the real you behind your body, behind your grades, behind what you look like, behind whether or not you cleaned up, behind your mistakes, that's good. So there's this voice in you, of course, as it then thinks you're not enough. And so you project onto the world that opinion. And you think that the world thinks about you what you think about yourself. You figure, well, if I think I'm no good, then I'm sure they think I'm no good. And so you go about in this endless dance where you're trying to get approval from the world. And you think that the world doesn't like you. And in that belief that the world doesn't like you, you have all these fantasies, the Course says, about what a dangerous place it is for you to be. And so you're constantly trying to make the grade. And the Course in Miracles says that really it's all just this big fantasy that we're having, that we don't have to do anything to make the grade. We're already it. You know, it's like you don't have to audition for the job anymore. You got it. And that's what we do in this society. We not only do that in terms of like we have to try to get the job, get this, get that. We even do it in relationships. You know, we're always auditioning for each other. Haven't you noticed? Have you ever felt that way in relationships? You keep auditioning for the part. You've dated somebody for a long time. I've been on both sides of that, definitely. Where, you know, I just don't know if I'll let that person in, or somebody else feeling like, God, they just won't let me in, when the truth of the matter is, it's only when you get the part that you can really start shining. Do you know what I'm saying? And I know with myself, I've seen where I just sort of wouldn't let a person in enough because I didn't know if they were the one I wanted to be close to. But if I didn't allow them to be close, how would I know? Right? And so that's what we do with each other all the time. We're always keeping it at bay because we just don't know if that in there is good enough. And I love in the Course the way it says, you think you're going to try to understand people to decide whether or not they are worthy of your love. But of course, let me assure you that if you don't love them, there's no way you're going to understand them. And so we're always trying to make it good enough or understand it enough in order to accept it. When there is a genuine acceptance of just the nakedness inside all of us, just the truth that's already there. There's nothing you can add on to it. There's nothing you have to add on to it. It is the power of the universe. And really, the truth of the matter isn't like, look, just accept the fact you're a grade B product. It's not that at all. It's accept the fact that you're already perfect. Now, that doesn't mean that you express that way or that you don't make mistakes on the level of our body. Of course, we do. But the very fact that we have difficulty, for instance, like taking criticism, would be because we think that we are our mistakes. The reason criticism shouldn't be so difficult for us is if we recognize that, so I made a mistake. It's like we were talking about last week, about the idea that you're just like everybody else. You are just like everybody else. Like everybody else, the statue is already in there. And the sadness, once again, as we were talking about last week, is that sometimes we think of all things that the spiritual life is just this new, is another illusion that we put out in front, right? That for some people, this image of what it looks like to be spiritual is once again another game we play in order to get approval. It's the new trendy thing that we think we might do in order for a certain group of people to think that we're okay. When really, nothing could be less spiritual. Nothing could be, pretense of any kind is the absence of being spiritual. And what is being real spiritual, I think, is being authentic. And that's certainly what the Course is at. The Course is not after any particular accoutrements or certain outside characteristics that would speak of a spiritual person. A spiritual person, in our sense, since spirit is of the mind, is that in any given moment we use our mind a certain way. And that would mean, by definition, not armoring. And any definition of ourselves, even spiritual, is a kind of armor. So the Course in Miracles says that the problem that we have in our lives is that we're always trying to defend against the dangers out there. The problem is that the Course in Miracles says you create what you defend against. You create the very thing that you defend against. You know, look at it on a real simple level, like a teenager goes into a party and feels real, real shy. You know, I remember I used to go into parties and I felt so afraid, and I was so afraid people wouldn't like me. So I'd like put on airs and try act like I knew it all and stuff like that, because it was just out of total fear, right? Well, if you put on airs and act like you know it all and stuff like that, what happens? People don't like you. So you're defending against their disapproval of you, and in defending against their disapproval of you, that's exactly what you create. And the Course in Miracles says even planning for your life, making extravagant plans, not even extravagant plans, but the whole mentality of having to plan out how everything's going to happen in life, is a defense against what would happen if you just let go. Because if you're going to say, okay, I'm going to just exist in this moment, not trying to be anything other than I am, just being naked, just this is it, folks. If you are going to live that way in any given moment, then by definition, the issue of living your life in time would be that also. I'm not going to try to make a lot of things happen. I'm just going to go with it. Now, the Course says that the ego mind tells you that without your planning and everything, everything would just be chaotic. But the Course in Miracles says if you would just let go and let the universe just bring what's yours to you, then everything would just be love. Because the real you that's under there is totally loving. And that's why he says in the Course in Miracles, he says, look, you think that there's such hideousness underneath there. He says, you're going to have to look underneath there to see what's really down there. He says, because you've got to see that there's only light. But the court says that in order to look down there, first you have to go through that ring of fear. What the Course in Miracles calls the ring of fear. Because the ego does not die easily. For instance, like if you're at the end of a relationship, right? And all of a sudden you're living a life where it's just about you. Well, the ego will manufacture all kinds of negative emotions and you'll feel all this devastation, all this desperation, all this loneliness. Because the ego wants a smokescreen. The ego doesn't want you to look at how powerful and safe you are when you're by yourself. And, of course, the interesting thing is that once you recognize how powerful and safe you are when you're by yourself, is when then you will attract into relationships much more stable, a much better type of relationship than a relationship that you were in coming from a place where you were hiding behind it and looking to another person for protection because really you thought that you were so weak. And so there are all various areas and different aspects of our lives in which we're thinking that if only we could, you know, and the Course says that this, everything that we do, you know, the clothes we wear, everything that we do, that we have to ask ourselves, what am I doing that from? Am I doing it from my own joy, or am I doing it in some way to make myself okay in the eyes of other people? And by definition, like I said, if we're doing that, then we're not able to appreciate that which we already are. And in the appreciation of that which we already are, then and only then do we find our own natural power. And in finding our own natural power, what we're finding is a world which is beyond this one. Because, you know, that's what the Course in Miracles is about. The Course in Miracles is about, you know, one of the lessons is beyond this world, there is a world I want. The idea that beyond this world, beyond this human storyline, this human storyline is this veil in front of the face of Christ. In Corinthians, where it says, I used to see us through a glass darkly, and now I see face to face. To see face to face means to see my genuine reality facing your genuine reality, because these bodies that we have are just clothes in front of that. And remember, genuine reality is your mind. And there's no place where your mind stops and mind starts. So the Course says, you know, there's really only one person in this room. Really, there's only one person on this planet, in this universe. That's the real meaning of the concept that there is only one begotten Son. We're all it. And we just appear to be in different bodies. And so what the ego mind is this belief that we're in this body. It's nothing that seems like something. It's this belief that here I am in my body, and this is my little kingdom, and I have to make my kingdom real attractive so you'll love me. And the Course in Miracles says, you're not even that kingdom. You are the love that you already feel. And you don't have to do anything in order to just fall deeply into that place. But to surrender like that, the reason we're so afraid to surrender is because we feel like if we do, we'll die. But that's because on a certain level we will. The ego does. And yet really, that's the high we're all looking for. You know, I say that about physical death, you know, it's like whenever we get diagnosed with a physical illness or a physical illness is in our midst or something, we all say, oh, no, I don't want to die. When really we've all been trying to escape this plane for a long time with drugs, alcohol, sex, and then all of a sudden it looks like we might be liberated. Oh, no, I really like it here. I really like it here. When really, if we're honest with ourselves, we don't always like it here. And we have a very valid excuse. It's a harsh place. This place, the Course says, is not your home. If you feel like you're an alien here, it's because you are. And yet that other world, that other kingdom, as Jesus said in the Bible, is within you. It's in our mind. It's not something to escape out there. It's something to fall into in here. And yet you can't fall into it by trying to build yourself up. You just fall into it by stripping away everything that you've been trying to use in order to build yourself up. And whoever doesn't notice you then doesn't have the eyes to see. I mean, Jesus wasn't noticed by everybody, wasn't reacted to positively by everybody. If you look at any of the saints, I mean, if you do adhere at all to the idea that there have been masters on this earth, whether it's Jesus or any of the Eastern or any of the religious traditions, everybody has their saints and their enlightened beings. And I've never read of any enlightened being, story of any enlightened being or master who was recognized as such by everyone. I love that line. Remember that book that came out several years ago, Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance? And they had that comment about that guy where they said in the East he was considered an enlightened master. In Milwaukee, they wanted to know why he didn't have a job. Right? The different ways that he was looked at. And so by definition, that means not caring what other people think. And that's very scary for this generation. I mean, that's such an affront to this generation because we have really, you know, we take the tapes of our parents and we run with them. You know, that's what Freud defined as the superego. You hear these voices when you're a child. And then when your parents aren't even saying those things anymore, you take it and run. That's why I say to people, you know, it's like your parents gave you this negative stuff about yourself. Well, most people that I hear talk, they go on and on about how my parents said these mean things to themselves, but what your parents said to you usually is nothing in meanness compared to the way you talk to yourself. I mean, your mother might have been mean to you, but you are vicious to you. Right? That's usually what happens is that you're even more. So if your parents told you, you got to do this to succeed, you got to do that to succeed, the problem in trying, sometimes we tend to like rebel against their values, when the truth of the matter is that the reason we're trying so hard to rebel against their values is because we believe them. That I know that used to definitely be what my situation was with my parents, and why I was rebelling so much was really I wanted their approval so desperately because I had taken those values they'd given me and actually just built them even more. And so it's got to be a complete lack, doesn't it, of just trying to get anybody's approval. Because that, you know, all of that stuff is what is called idolatry. What an idolatry is like an eclipse, you know. The sun is eclipsed. The moon comes in front of it. So the sun is still there, but it's eclipsed. Your power isn't connected to it. And whenever you think that something, you know, that's why the first commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. Not for his sake. You think God's up there going, she doesn't like me today. I mean, that's not the way the universal power would operate. But for you to deny your love of that power which is within you. If you don't put that first, you're putting something first. See, the Course says there's no such thing as faithlessness. You just think there is. Faith is an aspect of consciousness. The problem is, what do you have faith in? Do you have faith in the money? Do you have faith in the job? Do you have faith in the relationship? Do you have faith in what goes on out there? Or do you have faith in God? Because what that's saying is, or do you have faith in you? Because God is merely the expression of the real you. So you either have faith in the money or you have faith in you. You either have faith in the situation or you have faith in you. And to have faith in you means to know that you are safe and you're protected, which doesn't mean that you will keep the money, and it doesn't mean that you'll keep the job, and it doesn't even mean that you won't get sick. It means that you're safe. It means that you're protected. It means that there is a world behind this world of the changing storyline. It doesn't mean that you won't die. It means that life itself is lived, real life, on a level which is beyond the coming into and going out of bodies. So eternal life, eternal, what eternity is the present. What eternal life means is living in the present. That's what eternal life is. And in the Bible, when it says time shall be no more, what it means is that people will live without neurosing about the past or neurosing about the future. So living in the present simply means that in this moment, I am safe because the real me is beyond the consideration of what's happening. But you have to be willing to not care. And to be willing to not care makes you feel that in this world you will really be shoved aside. And the truth of the matter is, I love the line, one of my favorite lines in the Course in Miracles is where it says, the meek shall inherit the earth because their strength will literally take the place over. See, I remember thinking that I sort of had this image of what I thought an adult woman was like. And so I imitated that picture that I had, right? Kind of tough, and I, you know, strutted around, I'm a grown woman, right? Well, anybody with eyes to see, I'm sure would think, gosh, she's a really a little girl, isn't she, right? Because I thought I was manifesting as a real woman, right? And then the Course in Miracles says, give it up. Be ye as a little child. Because little children don't think they know what anything means, and so they're asking somebody else to teach to them. And that's the same thing like in Zen Buddhism when they talk about make your mind an empty rice bowl and the universe can fill it up. So So the Course teaches you, look, just go into any situation. Don't put on airs. Don't pretend to understand what anything means. Just be there. Just show up. And I was afraid. I remember I'm just like everybody else, you know, and I thought, well, I'm going to start, you know, people are going to react to me like I'm just this little girl and I don't understand anything, and why don't I grow up and get sophisticated, and why don't I go out and, you know, get life and take it by the, you know, really do it. And I just started to learn what it meant to not even try. And I think for myself that for the first time in my life, I began to manifest as a grown woman. The world didn't do that, at least my experience of it, was not that that was when other people started looking at me and saying, oh, she's such a little girl, but that other people started looking at me, and, well, I mean, if they thought about it at all, thinking she's a grown woman. And I didn't have to, in those areas of my life where I do that, what I experience is that I don't have to grab at things because they come to me. Because when you're standing in your natural state is when the universe can work with you. So many times, you know, the universe is always sending you fabulous things, but because it can't find you in any one place, you're running around like a chicken with your head chopped off. Do you know what I'm saying? If you would just relax. Now, I'm not saying, you know, I say here in my lectures pretty often, I'm not saying that I'm this totally innocent person, and so I do this in every area of my life, and the universe just comes to me. But I can tell you, definitely, I think you're supposed to swear with your right hand, that in the areas where I do that is where life works. And it's the areas where I don't do that, that it doesn't. And that's a muscle. You know, a lot of times you think in terms of a muscle that you have to develop in order to learn to do something. But really, some of the hardest muscles mentally are learning how to not do anything. That, for this generation, is more difficult. How to surrender. How to just be there. How to just not try. How to not feel like you have to, because all the efforts where we do try is because we have this feeling. It's like we feel like in life the train is coming through the station and we have to jump at it or it'll just pass us by. When the truth of the matter is if you're at the station and the train is coming and the train doesn't stop, it's not your train. It's not going where you want to go. And the truth of the matter is, let it go, because the train that's coming to get you is on the way and it's being held up because you're stopping all these trains that aren't even your trains. Right? But it's very difficult for this generation that's been taught, you know. And not only that, you don't have to dress up a certain way or anything like that in order to get the attention of the conductor, because the train is for you. It's like a magnet. It's going right to you. It's the way the universe is set up. And in a magnet, like all the iron shavings, just find their perfect pattern. And when you're standing in your total natural state, the iron shavings are coming in the perfect pattern for you. But it can't be, you know, I remember I was dating years ago, I got that what I'd done was I used to think, well, I'm going to, because, you know, it's just like you figure out what a grown woman was like, so I'd try to be one. I mean, this was not like so overt, but it was like what was really going on, right? So I did the same thing with men. What do they want, right? So I would like try to be what they wanted, and around 4 or 5 dates later, they'd see the real me. Right? And then I thought, why don't you just save yourself the trouble? Show them the real you from the beginning. Because if they're going to see the real you, and then that's not what they want, and they're going to reject you, why don't you just show them the real you and not go through that experience? Right? It was just one more area where I thought I had to, like, make up what I was supposed to be in life. When really, you know, it's very liberating in life to really get, you're not everybody's type. You're not for everybody. Your talent's not for everybody. Your ability's not for everybody. Your looks aren't for everybody. Your style's not for everybody. But you know who you're perfect for? The people you're meant for. That's what you're perfect for. That's why, like, to tell you the truth, that's part of the vibe of, like, not doing a lot of advertising for Course in Miracles and stuff. Why don't you just let the people come who just naturally resonate with it? Because who wants a lot of people in the audience who aren't going to like it once they get here? Who needs it? Right? Right? When really, if you're just going to let the universe bring to you what's your own, and yet you and your own, when you're just who you are, it's true, you're not attractive to everybody, but you're attractive to somebody. You can't not be. There's no flower in the garden that's not beautiful. And not every flower in the garden is one of the real major dramatic types, but there's no flower in the garden that's not beautiful. And that's what has got to be our understanding. Our understanding that that's already coded into our reality to become the perfect being. A tulip doesn't have to decide to become a tulip. And a pansy doesn't have to decide to become a pansy. It's just something we allow to happen. And when we allow our personality, our genuine personality, when you stop trying to make a paste up personality, I remember finding in my own life, I was very surprised by my personality. Really, I turned out to be silly in areas where I thought I was serious and serious in areas where I thought I was silly. I had no idea. And you really don't know anything about yourself until you get to know yourself. But other people can only get to know you by just witnessing, not judging, but just being there and accepting you. And you can only get to know yourself through the same process. You can only get to know yourself by just witnessing and being there and accepting yourself exactly as you are. And as you do that, you surrender into yourself. And as you begin to surrender into yourself, that's really a great love affair. And when you begin to surrender into yourself, just drop into yourself, relax into yourself, it's only then that you can begin to love yourself. And when you begin to love yourself, then you will begin to realize there's no reason for other people not to love you. And then you will begin to recognize that the world is a safe place. And once you recognize that you're wonderful and the world is a safe place, you're home. Thank you very much. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.